2009, or H.R. 1207, the bill now has 124 sponsors in the House of Representatives, but only one in the Senate. It should be noted that since the Fed has taken control of the money supply, the dollar has lost 95% of its value. John Russell, IRN, USA Radio News.
The government says households opting for only cell phone service outnumber those that only have traditional landlines. A CDC survey finds 20% of households have only cell phones compared to 17% with just landlines. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. Well, in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Paul Ray, and he, of course, is a professor. He holds a chair at the Hillsdale College, the Charles O. Lee and Louise K. Lee chair there, and, of course, he's a professor of history and political science. Usually when I see a book that talks about democracy, I'm a little skeptical of it. The title of the book we're going to be talking about is Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift. And I will tell you, it's an excellent book, and I found really nothing I could disagree with at all. It goes into the background of many of the philosophers, Montesquieu, de Tocqueville, certainly Rousseau, and how their ideas are being played out in America today, and then how we got into the mess we are today. Thank you very much for being with us. Mr. Ray, are you there? Paul Ray, are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, fine. Thank you so very much for being with us. Am I pronouncing your
yes,
name
you
correctly?
Yes, you are.
All right, fine. Well, certainly you are coming from a very a traditional American point of view, not progressive at all. Why don't you pick up the story? Because you can tell it far better than I can.
Well, some years ago, I published a book, 1992, in fact, called Republics Ancient and Modern, Classical Republicanism and the American Founding. And someone I knew reviewed the book positively, but he complained that I should have had a long chapter on Montesquieu, the author of The Spirit of Laws, published in 1748, which had an immense impact upon the American Founding Fathers. I thought his criticism just. And therefore, I set out to write a little article on Montesquieu, and it got out of hand. Because the deeper I got into Montesquieu and his account of England, which is the model for the first modern republic, he describes it as a republic disguised as a monarchy. The more I got into England, the more I thought about our country. And in particular, I was interested in a chapter in which he discusses the impact of the English form of government in shaping the national character of the English, and in particular, in shaping their political psychology. And there's a word that he used to describe the English that he borrowed from Blaise Pascal's Pensée. Pascal in the Pensée, following Augustine in the very first sentence of the Confessions, argues that man's fallen character, as a consequence of original sin, puts him in a condition of what he calls inquietude, of uneasiness, of restlessness. Augustine says, I will not rest until I rest in thee, speaking to God. Pascal looks upon man in his fallen state as uneasy, restless, in the grips of fear and discontent without any particular object. That's the language that Montesquieu uses for the English. And the argument is that the English are not diverted from the natural inquietude of human beings by the love of honor, the way the French are, or by a kind of fierce patriotism in which they lose their individuality in the political community, the way the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans did. They're more in accord with the way men are naturally. That language, fear without a certain object, inquietude, is picked up by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He applies it to human beings in commercial society, arguing that in a world dominated by trade and by vanity and by consumption, one day you're up, one day you're down. You don't know what's going to happen to you from one moment to the next. And you're in the grip of passions that have been liberated. And your basic experience of life is one of uneasiness, of restlessness, and of a vague fear that is undirected. Tocqueville, in Democracy in America, written after he visited the United States in the early 1830s, adopted this same language, the language of inquietude. He argued that Rousseau had it wrong. It wasn't because men were in commercial societies. It was because they were equal. Rousseau seemed to argue that equality, a kind of enforced equality, would damp down this inquietude. Tocqueville thought just the opposite. The problem itself was equality, and it was because human beings were in large societies in which there were no great oaks to shelter under. Everyone was equal, and everyone was in some measure helpless in the face of forces beyond their control, economic forces, political forces, and so forth. This worried him. He feared that in democratic societies, such as France after the French Revolution, out of inquietude, out of that vague uneasiness, human beings would seek security, and they would seek it from the only power that towered over everything else, the centralized state. So he feared that the future of democracy would lead human beings away from citizenship, away from civic agency, away from seeking to control their lives, towards being wards, dependents, and subjects of a centralized state that replaced not only the family but God in providing for them in every particular, in guiding them from birth all the way through their lives to death, in making them safe from birth all the way through their lives to death, and that they would lose their human quality, their spiritedness, that which from which all that was great about human beings arose. He came to the United States in the 1830s. Jacksonian America was what he visited. And he found that the Americans had found a remedy for this propensity of democratic societies. The remedy began with local self-government, which was vital and strong in the United States. And it meant that individual citizens participated in local government and had a sense of control, had a sense they could join together with their friends and their neighbors and their families and master the situations that they faced. He noticed that Americans, unlike the French, formed civil associations, private organizations for public purposes, to build hospitals and schools and churches and roads and to provide for the poor. He noticed also that Americans were deeply religious, that they were convinced that they had dignity as children of God. They understood their place in the cosmos. They were not uneasy with regard to their situation because they knew what they were, children of God, possessed of a certain dignity. And because they thought they had that dignity, they were able to resist encroachments upon their liberty. Connected with that was they had a strong sense of good and evil, and though there were many churches and synagogues and so forth, they all taught the same moral teaching about good and evil. In consequence, Americans were not uneasy about what was right and wrong. They were anchored. And they were anchored also in strong families, and that was tied up with their religious sentiments. So when Tocqueville looked at America, what he saw was human beings who were protected against the natural inquietude of liberal democratic man by civic agency, by their involvement in civil associations, by their strong sense of morality and of their own dignity, and by families boasting of domestic harmony.
And I really think
was the opposite of France in that regard.
And I really think, of course, the difference between the French Revolution and the American Revolution is that after the American Revolution, we still had our religious principles. And, of course, this is what this whole idea of self-government was based upon. You would govern yourself rather than having to look for the government to govern you. But, of course, in France, they'd done everything they could to destroy religion. I mean, they destroyed the church and seized the church properties. Man without God was going to create a utopian society. Well, you can see what a great job they did of it. And we did pretty well until we turned our back on God here. And we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Paul Rader to talk about his book. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Americans, do you know where your food comes from? Is it safe, secure, and healthy? Did you know most of our food is now contaminated with genetically modified ingredients? We at Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company have been helping people get pure garden seed for 12 years and carry over 1,200 varieties of GMO-free heirloom seed. Go to www.rareseeds.com for more information. That's rareseeds.com. Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company was started in 1998 by a 17-year-old as a hobby. It was developed out of a passion for preserving our vegetable heritage. The company now offers the largest selection of pure heirloom seeds, strive every year to bring back varieties like our forefathers grew. In times like these, we can't trust the government to keep our seeds safe. Every year at Baker Creek, we work to preserve the best of the oldest for future gardeners. We also offer affordable seed collections for long-term storage. Go to www.rareseeds.com and get your seeds from America's pure seed source. That's rareseeds.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold, hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com. Or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful, it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Dr. Paul Ray. We're talking about his book, Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift. And the basic theme of the book is that we need to limit the power of the federal government so men could be free. We need to get back to the federalist system, where, of course, there's a division of power between the federal and the state and the local governments, and where local governments work and take care of people, and where government stops regulating and controlling people because centralized planning just doesn't work. And it didn't work. It didn't work in Russia. It didn't work in Germany. It didn't work in Italy. It doesn't work in China. And the only reason China is doing so well is because we're shifting our wealth over to China. This whole idea of our leaders that we're going to build up these centralized planning situations and economies all throughout the world as we're moving ourselves towards a centralized economy, and certainly no better one to lead that than our current president, Mr. Obama, who seems to be intent upon developing a close working relationship with Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez. What are your thoughts about that?
Obama represents the end of a long development that goes back to the 1870s and the 1880s, when the progressives emerged within American universities and within, at that point, the Republican Party, and pressed for nationalizing everything. They were guided by Hegel's Phenomenology of Right and by Charles Darwin. They were born as Protestants and reared as evangelical Protestants, but they abandoned this for a kind of secularized Christianity that substituted a notion of secular salvation history for the biblical notion of salvation history. And the notion was that we needed to live in a society that was governed by technocratic experts. It's a sort of modernized version of Plato's Republic, in which there are guardians who look after everything. And therefore, what you needed to do is nationalize American politics. They were hostile to the Declaration of Independence because they didn't believe in natural rights. That was passé. They believed in the good of the community and were perfectly willing to run roughshod over people in light of, for example, the pseudoscience of racism. These are the very people who are responsible for introducing segregation into the federal civil service in 1913, as was done by Woodrow Wilson. They were also hostile to the American Constitution because of its decentralization. The very things that Tocqueville most valued in America, decentralization, the family and religion, they had contempt for. And what they sought to do is replace the family and religion. And in the period since 1912, when the two leading figures in the American election were Woodrow Wilson and Teddy Roosevelt, both of them progressives, and the present day, they have step-by-step deconstructed the founder's Constitution. The crucial moment actually came a long time ago, in 1913, when there was an amendment, the 16th Amendment, legalizing the income tax. That gave the federal government, at least in potential, control over the national wealth. The second thing that happened that year was the 17th Amendment. Prior to that time, the state legislatures in accord with the original Constitution, had elected the Senate. This shifted election of the Senate to the people of the states. Now, on the face of it, that seems perfectly reasonable and democratic. But its practical effect was to eliminate the check that the states had on federal encroachment on their powers. And in the aftermath, slowly, gradually, as mores and manners changed, the progressives moved against the states and the localities. They did so under Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal, under Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Great Society, under Richard Nixon, who sort of completed the structure of the Great Society, and they're doing so now under Barack Obama. Here's how they do it. They take money out of our pockets with federal income taxes, and then they use this money to bribe states, city governments, school boards to do certain things. They offer them grants, but these grants always come with conditions. Not simply that the grant money itself be spent in the way that it was appropriated. That might be reasonable. But that all sorts of other things be done so that the federal government ends up leveraging the money that the states, the city councils, and the school boards get from local sources, and directing that money where the federal government wants it to go. So if you're a state legislator, you're really a servant of the federal government. And the same is true of city councilmen and people who serve on school boards. They have very little autonomy. They spend most of their time making sure that they comply with federal regulations that come with the federal money. In consequence, the federalist system has now been subverted thoroughly. Similarly, our civil associations are now largely lobbying organizations based in Washington with tin cups in their hands begging the federal government for money. They don't represent civic agency on the part of citizens. They've become instruments by which the federal government directs civil society.
Well, of course, reading your book, you seem to think that they're sort of a ruling oligarchy, people of great wealth who've been able to buy their positions in government, and that they seem to be coordinating this whole thing. Is that an accurate interpretation of the way you feel?
I wouldn't emphasize so much great wealth as education, because the true home of progressivism is the universities. It emerged in the universities in the 1870s and the 1880s. It has shaped all of the professional associations that were founded in the 1890s, the American Historical Association, the American Economic Association, the American Political Science Association. The focus is really on expertise. And so these are the people who actually run our government. They're people with PhDs. They're the Tim Geithners of the world and the Larry Summers of the world. And the people of wealth in the private sector are very often fleeced by these people. And you can see this. If you loan money to Chrysler, in theory, you are first in line when Chrysler goes bankrupt. But in practice, what's happening is Chrysler's being handed over to the UAW.
And don't forget the Fiat as well. They're going to hand it over to Fiat. So where does our government get off handing over a private American corporation to a foreign major corporation?
Well, here's the key. The banks that loan money to Chrysler are in trouble for other reasons having to do with subprime mortgages. And therefore, they're dependent on being bailed out by the federal government, which means the federal government can tell them what to do. And the consequence is the whole economy can be driven by way of the federal government's leverage over these banks that loan money to the various corporations. That money will now come with strings attached. And the whole thing will be done secretly. Absolutely nothing that's going on is being done in the open. So we can't see what's happening. And it will allow a transfer of resources to the favorites of those who are in control of the federal government at any time.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we're seeing one of the greatest transfers of wealth of all history. Oh, when we get back, if you'd like to give us a call, our number, of course, is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791, right here at Genesis.
companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS pepper spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion stun gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals and cravings and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free Capsules, a Guide to Living Smoke-Free book, an audio support program, capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-426-6186 today. That's 1-800-426-6186. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-426-6186 now.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Paul Ray, his book, Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift. Would you like to get your website out, information on how people can get your book?
Sure. I have a website. I set it up just recently. It's paularahe.com. That's P-A-U-L-A-R-A-H-E. The key thing is to remember that R-A-H-E.com. And they can find the book listed there and the volumes of Republics Ancient and Modern. And I did a book last year called Against Throne and Monarchy, Against Throne and Altar, Machiavellian Political Theory Under the English Republic. And I have a book coming out in September called Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty. So there's lots of things to see there, and you can follow the links and they'll take you to where you can buy the book.
Well, how can a despotism be democratic?
Well, it can be democratic in the following way. When Montesquieu talks about despotism, he talks about a regime that's based upon terror. When Tocqueville talks about soft despotism, he talks about a species of rule in which the government becomes like a parent. And the key difference between the government and ordinary parents is ordinary parents want their children to grow up and move off and establish their own lives and become independent. Indeed, the whole purpose that we have in rearing our children, in sending them to school or homeschooling them or however we deal with it, is to prepare them to be in the world and to operate as individuals capable of relying upon themselves. Okay, the government's task under soft despotism is to keep us as children, to make us as dependent as possible. So from the perspective of the kind of administration we have now, the fact that last year 40% of children were born out of wedlock is a good sign, because they are perfect prey for soft despotism. Their mothers are desperately dependent upon support and help from outside. It's very hard to rear children if you're alone. And the children themselves grow up in a situation where they're not likely to be terribly disciplined. When they get to their teenage years, their mothers tend to lose control of them. And they become wild, perfect for becoming wards of the state, dependents, and in tutelage to the state. So soft despotism is soft in the sense they don't terrorize you. What they do is they offer you a helping hand, but it's the sort of helping hand that's crippling. It doesn't help you get back on your feet so you can stay on your feet and run your own lives and be a citizen and be a help to your neighbors and your friends and your family. No, it keeps you in a situation where you're always dependent upon that helping hand. You know, the old welfare system was perfect for this. It encouraged teenage girls to get pregnant because they could get apartments and leave their families at the age of 15 or 16. And then it left them in a situation where they were dependent upon the state from that point on. It's everything that the state does in an intensive way for people morally corrupts them. Let me take another example, Social Security. Seems like a good idea. You provide for the old people so that they're not in need when they're old. What did people do before Social Security? Well, the answer is they had children. Their children were their Social Security. I don't mean it was the only reason they had children, but it increased the reasons for having children. It gave them a material interest in having children as well as a moral interest in having children. What's happened in societies with social insurance programs like Social Security? People have stopped having children. And the irony is it leads to the bankruptcy of Social Security. This is the very year in which, for the first time in American history, there is not a Social Security surplus. There is a Social Security deficit. Since the 1930s, Social Security has been loaning money to the federal government by buying federal bonds. Now, suddenly, it is dependent upon the federal government, and it is selling those bonds, which means taxes will have to be raised. Who are they going to be raised on? They're going to be raised on the people who are still working. But they are fewer in number with every passing year in relation to the number of people retired. In other words, the age structure of the population has changed. And the consequence, if you look down the road, is every year those taxes are going to have to go up. They're going to have to go up dramatically.
In fact, we're even looking at the possibility of somewhere in the not-too-distant future, 80% of the income of the working group will have to go simply to pay for Social Security and Medicare, and then you're going to have to pay income tax on the rest of your income.
But right. What it means in practice is this can't happen. We can't go there. Because if they're going to take 80% of your money, you're not going to want to work. You're going to want to go on welfare. In other words, the incentive structure of the whole system points in the direction of taking advantage of the system and not being independent, self-reliant, and hardworking. We once had a period between the 30s, the 1933-34, and 1960, in which between federal income tax, Social Security, and state taxes, 90% of the money that you made above a certain level was taken. And guess what? The people who had the money, they didn't invest. There was no point in investing. If you invested and you lost money, 100% of the losses were yours. If you invested money and made money, 10% of the gains were yours. So there was no point in doing it. In consequence, in 1941, 9 years after Franklin Delano Roosevelt took office, 9 years after that, unemployment in the United States was 15% because there weren't new jobs. There wasn't economic growth. People who had the money weren't investing it. They weren't looking for ways to make more money because there was no point in making more money, and so they weren't hiring anybody new. You've got stagnation in the economy. That's exactly where we're headed now. So if you look at this progressive impulse and where it leads to a society that cannot sustain itself. This is even more obvious in Europe, which has been more socialist than the United States all along. In Germany, the birth rate is 1.3. What that means is the German population will drop by a third over the course of a generation. And this is true in almost every country in Europe. There's not a single country in Europe that has a population, a birth rate, that would sustain the population. So you're going to have declining population at the same time that older people are living longer. And the consequence is the entire social system is going to collapse. It's no accident that not a single European country is responding to the current economic crisis by increasing the element of socialism within their operation. None of them are doing that because they can't. The only country that has options is the United States. And what we're doing is we're moving in the direction of becoming like the Europeans, in which we are trapped in a social situation that is self-destructive. And it's all tied up with things like Social Security and welfare and government-paid Medicare and so forth. The burden falls on those people who are responsible, self-reliant, and hardworking. And eventually, there's no percentage in being self-reliant, hardworking, independent.
Well, you get what you subsidize, and if you subsidize people working hard and you cut their taxes and give them incentive to work, they'll work. And you raise their taxes and you tax them more so they can't keep any of it, they're not going to work. It's just a human. These things are so self-evident. And yet, of course, our politicians never talk about it. And, of course, you talk in your book about this feeling of disquiet, this something's wrong. Everybody knows something's wrong. Michelle Obama has talked about there's something wrong in America, but of course her solution is ever more government control over the lives of the people, and that's what got us into the mess we're in. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Paul Ray, his book, Soft Despotism and Democracy's Drift. It's a great book, well worthwhile reading. We recommend it to you. If you have a question, give us a call, 1-800-259-5791.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Today, we cannot afford to ignore the current state of our country. The economy, job layoffs, mass foreclosures, and now we are all at risk of being exposed to this new flu pandemic. The Center for Disease Control has declared a public health emergency across the United States. What can you do to prepare yourself? The answer is ZeroFlu.com. ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces. With no filters to replace ever, you save money. Prepare yourself today. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 888-766-6066. 888-766-6066 today. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Paul Ray. We're talking about his book, Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift. And, of course, the problem that we have is that most Americans don't understand our form of government, which limited the power of the federal government, and there was to be some government at the federal level, but that was only the things that the states couldn't manage. But the states were to do the majority of the regulation as far as providing for the health and education and welfare, and the local communities were to participate in this. And when I went into medicine 50 years ago, nobody went without medical care. We had a county hospital system set up so everybody could go there and get health care. And if you could pay for it, fine. If you couldn't pay for it, fine. Over the county took care of it. But now the federal government's gotten in. They've driven the prices of medicine up so high and hospitalization so high and drugs because of the close alliance between the drug companies and the federal government that medicine has become prohibitively expensive and many people are going to other countries to get treatments, especially because in other countries they will allow treatments, effective treatments for cancer and other diseases that are just not permitted here in America. because the pharmaceutical industry doesn't make a profit from it. And if that sounds crass, it is, because this is the reality of where we are today. So, Paul, what can we do? How can we take America back? How can we preserve our liberty for generations yet unborn?
Well, when Tocqueville came to America, one of the things he noticed was that there was a tariff passed in 1828. Its opponents called it the Tariff of Abominations. Now, I can't tell you whether that tariff was good or bad, and Tocqueville didn't know either. But what he noticed was that those people in the United States who thought it was bad organized against it. They organized at the local level, more or less spontaneously, all over the country. They didn't organize within political parties. The politicians were hacks in those days, just as they are now. But they organized in such a way as to put enormous pressure on the political parties. And the consequence is the Tariff of Abominations was repealed. And it was repealed because of civic agency on the part of ordinary citizens. One of the things that he would be struck by if he came to the United States today is the Tea Party movement. You know, one man on CNBC expresses outrage and says there ought to be tea parties like the Boston Tea Party. And suddenly, all over the country, in small towns, in large cities, in rural areas, people pour out, organize themselves spontaneously. Nancy Pelosi condemns them. They hate civic agency. They hate real democracy. The President of the United States attacks them. And they're organizing. If this movement may be the beginning of something much, much bigger, in which we can take back our government from the elite that dominate in Washington. Now, to do that, the Tea Party movement must first take back the Republican Party, the party out of power, from those within the Republican Party who are secretly or openly sympathetic with the progressives. I think that can happen. Politicians are very quick to accommodate themselves to the public mood. And I think what's going to happen gradually over the next couple of years, as it becomes clear that the policies of the current administration in Washington aren't working, as it becomes clear that it's a kleptocratic administration that steals from one group of people to give to other groups of people, as taxes come to be raised, I think there's going to be an explosion in this country. And that explosion can be a very positive thing if people are thinking carefully about how did we get into this mess. And it's not good enough simply to vote for the opposing party. What you have to do is reshape that party as an instrument for civic agency. A couple of the things that I think need to be done are the passage of a constitutional amendment limiting the income the federal government can take from income tax except in time of war. The primary function of the federal government is national defense. It shouldn't be restricted simply to that because it has other functions as well, communications, the post office, and things along those lines. But nonetheless, national defense is the crucial thing. And we need to starve the federal government to some degree of funds. There ought not to be a Department of Education. Arguably, there ought not to be a Department of Agriculture anymore. Department of Commerce makes sense because the federal government is in charge of interstate commerce. But a lot of what the federal government does, health, education, welfare, shouldn't be done by the federal government at all. The second thing is there should be a constitutional amendment banning unfunded and partially funded mandates to states, cities, localities, and private organizations. In other words, if the federal government pays for a road, it's perfectly appropriate that it stipulate the quality of the road. But it's another thing for it to stipulate how fast you can drive on that road. That's a matter of local option. And it's certainly not the case that it should have anything to do with running our schools. The people who care about the welfare of young Americans are their parents, first and foremost. Schools should be controlled by the parents of the students who go to those schools.
Well, Paul,
they won't always do the smartest thing, but they will always do something that they think is in the interest of their children. When schools are controlled in Washington by putative experts, then you get the notion that one size fits all, that a single cookie cutter can be used in every school district in America, and that these experts know better than parents what is good for the children of those parents.
I'm going to have to let you go.
Undemocratic and irrational.
Well, basically, we could go on, and I agree with everything you're saying, but God bless you. We're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us. I hope your book does very well, and perhaps we can talk to you at some other time, maybe
I'd
when
love
your
to
new
speak
book
with
comes
you
up.
Again.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, fine. That was Paul Ray, his book, Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift. A very good book. I'm rather surprised at it. Very readable, and I certainly enjoyed it. Now, this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners out there that Radio Liberty is still primarily listener-supported, and of course, we believe that there are secret societies out there. We believe the Trilateral Commission controls the government, but that they controlled it under the Democrats. They controlled it under the Republicans. Certainly, since 1976, between 1976 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States, every president and or vice president of the United States has been a member of the Trilateral Commission. How could that have happened by accident? How could it be that three of the four chairmen of the Federal Reserve System between 76 and 2008 came from this same little organization, as did all of the at least six of the 12 secretaries of state, and I think eight of the 12 secretaries of defense? Anyway, we'll get all those details in my latest newsletter, which I hope, of course, you'll get, or certainly you can get it at augustreview.org. Get the information and start getting us out. And we're going to have a great new DVD here very soon. Pat Wood giving all the information. He's the world's leading expert on the Trilateral Commission. You need to get the book, The Trilateral Commission, written by Professor Sutton. Or you need to get to Professor Sutton's book on the Federal Reserve conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. You need to get our new syllabus. It's called the Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and it'll give you the whole background and the membership list of all of these wicked people. Many of them may not even understand what it's all about, but they're all working for a one-world government and the destruction of our sovereignty, and as a result, they are subversive organizations. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberger, the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, and you can't tell the players without a program, and this is the program, the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get our financial Armageddon syllabus based upon a talk I've given recently. And certainly you'll get the letters written by, or the speeches given by Congressman McFadden and by Wright Patman. You'll get the copy of the letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House in 1933, saying, as you and I both know, why the centers and the financial elements and the large centers has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. We are entering another struggle between the banks and the government, just like they had during the days of Andrew Jackson. You'll have a copy of that letter. I found it among Colonel House's papers back at Yale University. So much other information. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden secret, because you can't understand anything going on unless you understand there is a secret, and it has been passed down through the centuries through the secret societies. And of course, then, of course, you need to get the secret mystery DVDs. There are three of them: Secret Mysteries, Riddles in Stone, and The Eye of the Phoenix. And I appear in all of them. Not very important, but excellent, excellent material. And so our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5.